Let's go to India now, where it's been more than 5 years since the brutal rape and murder of a young woman named Jyoti Singh Pandey on a bus in New Delhi. That crime seemed to galvanize the nation against rape and the culture and laws that permit it. But today, sexual violence is still rampant, and many in Indian society are furious at the government's response under Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Now, there's a new horror in India, the rape and murder of a very young girl fueled by religious hatred. Shashank Bengali is South Asia correspondent for the LA Times, and he's here to explain what this new case says about the state of the law and the culture around rape in India.
The details are a bit shocking. An 8-year-old girl, a Muslim girl in northern India, was locked in a Hindu shrine, drugged and gang raped for several days. She was finally killed with a blow to the head with a heavy rock. This happened back in January, and it wasn't until this month, early April, that the case got national attention because the police report finally became public, and it emerged that the motive for the crime, which, as if it wasn't bad enough, the motive for the crime actually was a group of Hindus trying to cleanse their area of northern India of this Muslim nomadic community that the girl was a member of. And once that came out, that really galvanized some massive protests. It was really the biggest protest we've seen in India involving a rape case since 2012, when there was a terrible gang rape on a bus in New Delhi.
So this is the utter dehumanization of this Muslim child in a Hindu shrine, as you mentioned, Shashank. Hindu nationalists seem to be rallying behind the accused rapists in this case. Can you talk about how religious identity is playing a role here?
Right. And that was the second shocking thing about this case, Todd, was that not only were the details just gruesome, but the initial response by Hindu nationalists to the news of this crime was to hold rallies defending the alleged rapist, to say that they were being framed. And in fact, some of those rallies included members of India's Hindu nationalist governing party led by Narendra Modi. And so it was just another example of how polarized India has become between Hindus and Muslims. India is predominantly Hindu. It's an 80% Hindu country. Muslims make up the largest religious minority of about 12 or 13% of the population. There have been increasing examples of hate crimes by Hindu groups against Muslims in the last 3 to 4 years since the Modi government has come into office. And this was just one of the more horrific examples of those crimes.
Now, in terms of a governmental response to the scourge of rape in India, what has the Modi government done after this January case?
I mean, first of all, it should be said that the Modi government came in under a lot of criticism because it took the prime minister several days before he spoke out and finally condemned the crime. And this is a prime minister who is very adept at social media. He has a tremendous following on Twitter and Facebook. He is prone to giving sort of, you know, very charismatic speeches. But on the subject of rape and particularly on the subject of communal violence, he is often found very silent, often takes a very long time to speak up. So that was the initial problem that people saw with Modi's response. And then finally, once this has become an international story, headlines around the world, the government finally passed basically an executive order that would allow the death penalty for certain rape cases involving children as victims. Now, this was, sort of seen as a get tough response, but it immediately galvanized some outrage and some questions because in India, a large number of the rapes, as in most countries, I imagine, in many cases, victims know their attackers. And there's a feeling in India that by allowing the death penalty in rape cases, it might actually encourage families to avoid naming the attacker. It might actually encourage parents to tell their children to keep quiet about reporting rape cases. So the biggest thing the government's done with this death penalty decision has actually created quite a lot of criticism as well.
And at the same time, I mean, new laws are one thing and cultural change is quite another, Shashank. Many people have criticized even this new death penalty proposal because behind it, several high-profile members of the government themselves have been accused of rape and continue serving, continue getting elected.
Well, that's right. One of the things that's come out in the sort of uproar over this case, an NGO in India did a survey of lawmakers in the country, and there's a large number of lawmakers who have police cases pending against them for various crimes, corruption, theft, and murder in some cases. And it came out that of the lawmakers who are facing sexual abuse charges, the biggest number come from Modi's party, the BJP. And this just sort of contributed to the idea that the Hindu nationalist government is soft on these types of crimes, doesn't take them very seriously. And at the same time, another case emerged in another state in India where a BJP lawmaker was the accused, was accused of raping a teenage girl. And so it just sort of added fuel to this furor, suggesting that Modi's government is soft on these types of crimes.
And now you mentioned also the high-profile case of the young woman, 2012, gang-raped on a bus in Delhi. What has been the impact from that case looking forward to the horrific crimes that we're talking about this January?
Right. I mean, as you said, there is there's a legal issue, and there's also the question of cultural norms and cultural change. And India has done a few things to change laws and toughen laws on sex crimes, but the patriarchal culture has really not changed at all. One of the things India has done since that 2012 terrible case, they expanded the definition of what constitutes a sex crime to add things like stalking and voyeurism. It also established a number of fast-track courts that were meant to speed up the prosecution of rape cases. And while it's true that some cases that get national attention do proceed rather quickly through the courts, the vast majority of rapes and sex abuse cases do not get reported or simply languish in the courts. One child rights group in India did a study earlier this month that said that if there were no more child sexual abuse cases brought in India after 2016, it would still take the country 20 years to work through the backlog of existing cases. So there's a tremendous problem with the justice system in moving these cases forward, even with these fast-track courts.
And going forward, Shashank, you know, we've talked about the crimes themselves, and then we've talked about the nexus with religious rivalries and religious violence, not a new concept in India. In fact, on the rise lately. Going forward, is there any real pressure on the government or on politicians more broadly to try to separate these two things and try to bring some relief to victims in India?
Well, it's true that religious violence and religious tensions are on the rise here, and it's no coincidence that this is happening when there's a very strong Hindu nationalist government in power. One of the things that the rise of Narendra Modi has done is it's emboldened quite a number of what used to be fringe groups, Hindu groups that style themselves as vigilantes who protect the cow, which is seen as sacred by some Hindus, to go around claiming that Muslims are plotting to commit what they called love jihad, which is sort of a made-up concept that suggests that Muslims are trying to marry Hindu women and then convert them to Islam, not proven in any measurable way that that's going on. But these types of groups, these vigilante Hindu groups, are going around and not getting very much sanction, not getting very much pushback from the party in power, because there are connections between Modi's party and their ideological roots are the same as some of these fringe organizations. So it's groups that track hate crimes in India, which is not a very well-studied phenomenon, unfortunately, not a very well-tracked phenomenon, but they anecdotally do say that these types of crimes are on the rise. And unfortunately, with an election coming next year, Narendra Modi is seeking a second five-year term. And one of the unfortunate things about Indian politics is that whenever there's an election, this is typically the time when parties whip up religious fervor and stoke division more than try to seek common ground. So there is a lot of concern that with this campaign getting into full swing, there could be even more such cases.
Shashank Bengali, South Asia correspondent in Mumbai with the LA Times. Shashank, thank you.
Thanks for having me.